Today on Real Radio.
Jesus says, therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of myself, and I have the power to lay it down and to raise it up again. That's confidence.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. The last five verses of chapter 13 show us quite a stern side of Jesus. He knows at this point that the religious authorities are not accepting him as Mashiach, Messiah. And then he says to Jerusalem that they will not see him again until they do recognize him as such. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Living with Expectation.
Look at your world history. Look at the kingdoms of this world right now that are under the tyranny of oppressors. The people are tortured. The people are brutalized. The people are spied upon. The people are threatened. Why? Because when you manipulate people like that with fear, you can control them. See, why is that important? Because Herod and the Pharisees have come together to try to manipulate Jesus with the threat of fear that he might be out of Jerusalem, that he might leave Jerusalem. You say, why is that important? Because God has an appointment in Jerusalem. God has a plan in Jerusalem. Can somebody think, you're probably wearing it around your neck, what plan did God have regarding his son in Jerusalem? Jesus was to go die in Jerusalem, and nothing was going to stop him from getting there. And that's an awesome thing to remember, that you and I can know the love of God that will empower us, that we not be fearful, but go into this age in which you and I live in, or that situation, or that project, or that issue of your life. And every one of us have issues of our lives, and fear will play a factor. And we'll either bow down to the pressure of those that are pressuring us, or we will stand assured upon God. But God does not want you and I to be manipulated at all. I'm going to give you a great example of this. It's Acts chapter 5, verses 40 to 42. And this is the face that we need to have regarding threats. Because Jesus is being threatened and will be threatened. Will be. Have you been threatened? We are threatened. Acts chapter 5, verse 40. It's about the apostles. They're all excited. They've been out preaching the gospel. People are getting all excited and coming to Jesus. Sins forgiven. People are getting healed. Now, when they had called for the apostles to come to them, the council, they beat them and commanded them that they should no longer speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Oh, imagine this. All you pastors get together. We want the pastors of the churches in this community to come up here to the city council. We've got to talk to you. They show up. All these pastors probably think they're getting an award. What am I going to pastor of the year award? They get beat up. The city council calls in the cops, beat these people up. They get all beat up. And now after they're all beat up, the council says, no longer go out and preach and teach the name of Jesus anymore. Or don't pray in Jesus' name anymore. What are we supposed to do? Okay, sorry. Won't happen again. You see, Jack, aren't we supposed to obey the laws of the land? Yes, until those laws disobey the Bible. Your allegiance is to God first. Greatest citizens of any town should be the Christians. But when a society begins to go against the will of God, the Bible makes it very clear that we are to stand up. Unfortunately, very few people stand up. But these guys, look what it says. It says, and they let them go. So the apostles departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, They did not cease to teach and to preach Jesus as the Christ. Wow, I love this incredible disobedience. I believe personally, by the way, that those days could come to us again, you know, in the not too distant future. Already there's state legislation going on here in California that would make certain verses of the Bible illegal. And we're fighting that. What happens if they make them illegal? Then the next Sunday, we preach a message on those verses that are now illegal. Jesus is not fearful. He knows what the plan is, and you and I have a plan God has given us for our lives. Number two, under this point, seeing God's plan develops confidence, the confidence that we need. Wow, God's in control. I can rest if God's in control. Have you been in an accident? Look, I know it was an accident. But God's in control. He knows what's going on. Did God cause the accident? Look, I don't know about that part, but I know this. God knew the accident was going to happen because God has no accidents. He knows everything that's coming. To you and I, it's an accident. God knows everything. He says, why didn't he stop it? Because he's working something out. Listen, I got to tell you something. God is at work and he wants us to be confident. And have you noticed that you're very confident? Can somebody tell me what you do? Are you a what? Tell me. Say something. A counselor. Are you confident in your counseling? Yes. Anybody?
Caterer.
What?
Caterer.
A caterer. Are you confident in your catering?
Very much.
Very much, he says. I heard teacher over here. Are you confident in your teaching?
Yes, but not with the budget.
Have faith, my friend. He says, yes, I am confident as a teacher, but not with the budget cuts. Well, listen. When you're confident in something, you're bold about it. You can walk into your counseling session because you know what you're going to say, and you've learned over the years by experience what you're going to do. Okay, your catering comes with expertise. Over and over again, you hone these things that you are providing and what you're presenting until it becomes an art. An art at second nature. It just happens. You're teaching, whatever it is. What you're confident in is your strength, right? When it comes to our Christianity, does God want us confident or not confident regarding our Christianity? He wants us confident. Now watch this. When we are not confident, we are timid and we are fearful and we are insecure. And we make mistakes, right? Now why am I bringing this up? Jesus says in verse 32, you go tell that fox, circle that word fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow. Circle the word fox because it doesn't mean that Herod was a really good-looking, powerful politician from Rome. It's one of the most despised words that the Hebrews used in that day. You go tell that little bony-legged, weaseling around, sneaking around, scared to show his face, poor representation of a human man, tell him this. You say, Jack, you're making it up. I'm not making it up. You see why I told you Jesus says some words that you'll never see him using in any other place of Scripture. Jesus says, you go tell that man who I despise. That's the words he used. See, there's no way Jesus despised anybody. This is the only guy in all the Bible that it's clearly recorded that Jesus despised Herod. In fact, you know the Bible. Remember when Jesus is arrested and brought before Herod, and Herod questions him, and what does it say? Jesus answered him not a word. That, now I don't know how it is today, but in that culture, that is a display, it is a declaration of absolute disgust. You say, Jesus would never do that. Jesus did that. Jesus speaks to him boldly. Does he not know? Does Jesus not know that this is the number one kingpin of the Roman Empire in Israel? Yes, he does. But Jesus answers to the march of a different kingdom. He has confidence. When we don't have confidence as Christians, we go around apologizing for owning a Bible. We go around apologizing for saying, praise God. We go, oh, I'm sorry, there's a sticker on my car. I'll take it off. No, 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 no. What is that? But when we're insecure about something, I got to tell you, I don't like sometimes when the Lord drives home the meaning of a message to me personally. My daughter, She said, Dad, I want a dimmer in my bedroom. I want to be able to dim my, she has a chandelier over her bed. I want to be able to dim my chandelier over my bed. And I said, I'll take care of that for you, sweetheart. I'll just get on right down there to Home Depot. I'll get a dimmer. So I did this last night. And I've seen guys, electricians, I've seen them change out switches without turning off the power to the house. I've seen them do it. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? They do it. So I'm not going to do that. And so I'm pulling everything out, okay? And I got everything replaced, and I'm putting all those little yellow screwy things on there, those nut deals, whatever they're called. You know what I'm talking about. You put them on there, looking good to me. And then I look down, I'm trying to put that dimmer back in there. Man, what is this thing? Thing won't go in there. So I take my finger and I'm poking the wires in there, and I'm holding the switch here and I'm poking the wires in there, and poof, blue light, blew the lights, everything goes black, and I'm sitting there with my finger, and it was like, whoa. And man, that's a feeling. I got to tell you, I was not confident going into it. And I wasn't confident afterwards. I picked up the phone and I said, hey, I need help. And why? Because I didn't know what I was doing. As a Christian, you and I, there's no excuse that we should know what we're doing in this life. And we should not be fearful. Our God loves us, and he's given us a plan. And listen, all the people that will live around us that can't stand us, they say things about us. There goes that Christian again. Listen, they don't realize it, but they need us. They need your love for them. We need to remember that. We can be confident. Listen how confident Jesus was. In John 10:17, Jesus says, therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of myself, and I have the power to lay it down and to raise it up again. That's confidence. Ephesians 3:11, according to the eternal purpose which God purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. That word confidence means full trust. God says to his kids, you come to me. I've got a plan for your life. My goodness, in Galatians 1, Paul the Apostle said, I know that God separated me from my mother's womb to be a preacher of the gospel. You say, well, I'm not a preacher of the gospel. I'm a police officer, or I'm an engineer, or I'm a housewife, or whatever. God, from your mother's womb, separated you to his purposes. And that is absolutely true. And the moment you say, could that be true? I want to see that happen in my life. Then listen, what are you? What has God called you to do? Be that person. Behind my chair in my office, there's an old, worn out, I don't know what you guys call it, but it's a word, you know, you poke, forget it. It's just a sign made by somebody with thread. And it says, whatever you do, be a good one. Abraham Lincoln. Whatever you are, if it's a counselor, a teacher, if it's a caterer, Lord God, I'm going to get up this morning, I'm going to do this to your glory because you made us, you know us, inside and out, all the way through. God, give me your wisdom for today. And you don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be threatened by that. Look at verses 32 to 33. Seeing God's plan keeps the finish line in sight for us. And the third day, Jesus said, I shall be perfected. That word perfected simply means I'm going to finish what I've come to do. Nevertheless, I must journey today, tomorrow, and the following day, for it cannot be, mark this, Bible student, underline it, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. All of a sudden, now Jesus is speaking, remember, to that fox Herod. You tell Herod, I've got work to do, my schedule, my time. I'm doing this today, tomorrow, and the third day. Then I'll be done with my job. Go tell Herod that. Now, secondly, it's right here. Nevertheless, I must journey today, tomorrow, and the following day. And listen to what he says. For it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. You have to mark that. You say, why should I mark that? Because now Jesus takes, as it were, a double-barrel shotgun. With one barrel, he just shot Herod. And with the other barrel, he's shooting the Pharisees. What's he shooting them with or for? This here is such a rare portion of Scripture. It is a divine sarcasm. You don't get this hardly at all in the Bible ever. This is a divine sarcasm. It's true. Jesus is saying, remember when they came to him and they said, oh, you need to leave. Herod wants to kill you. Manipulation, remember? Jesus says, well, first of all, go tell Herod. And secondly, I want to tell you something. And he speaks to the Pharisees and he said, listen, God forbid, I'm paraphrasing, God forbid that a prophet should die anywhere else except in Jerusalem. What does that mean? The religious leaders of Israel throughout history in the Old Testament, where did they stone the prophets? Jerusalem. They came with a message, the Lord wants Jerusalem to repent of its sin and seek the face of God. Kill them. Jesus, in this divine sarcasm, is saying, oh, you've come to warn me that Herod wants to kill me like you care? Oh, you care, all right. Since when and how could it be that a prophet could die outside the city limits of Jerusalem? Ain't never happened. Ain't gonna happen regarding me. You guys kill the prophets of God in Jerusalem. I've got a date in Jerusalem. You will kill me also. He speaks directly to them. And what happens as time goes on? Do we not know the gospel? The Pharisees got in cahoots with Rome, remember, and determined through Pilate and Herod that Jesus should be killed. Of course, Jesus knows all this stuff. It's awesome. The word perfected, as I said earlier, is completed, accomplished. It means that you're moving towards the goal. Here's interesting. What's Jesus' goal? It's to be offered up on the cross. Why? Because you and I needed that. How come? Because the Bible declares that man needs a sacrifice. Man needs atonement. Man needs forgiveness. And God will not forgive sin. God will not forgive unrighteousness unless there's the shedding of innocent blood. That's why there's animal sacrifices in the world. Jesus, God, come to earth in human flesh, did not have an animal die for us on the cross. God died in the person of Jesus in his humanity, paying that price to set us free forever. Not covering our sins like animal blood did. Jesus' blood didn't cover our sins. What did it do? Removed our sins from us. You see why we ought to live in confidence and boldness and understanding God's plan? It's incredible. It's awesome. But Jesus embraced the cross. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon said. Charles Spurgeon said, it rightly would be regarded as an undue cruelty to a condemned criminal if each day he was moved a little bit closer to the gallows. Jesus didn't shy away from the cross. Each day he got closer, he embraced it. Jesus wasn't thrown on the cross. Jesus got on the cross. Isn't that amazing? He's got a date with the cross and he's not shy about it. Why? Because he knows his Father's in control. It says in verse 33, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. An unbelieving person today offends the heart of God just like an unbelieving Israel did back then. An unbelieving America or an unbelieving Canada or an unbelieving China offends the heart of God just like Israel did back in those days. But listen, you and I will not be responsible to get America to believe. You and I are responsible alone, individually, to believe in him, to trust him. I'm not talking about religion. Forget that. It's ridiculous. To know him, to actually come to him, and to be able to say, Jesus, I do this because imagine you being private. Lord, you know the stuff I've done in life and experienced in life, the stuff that even some people don't even know about, you know, as God. And I right now, I want to receive, I want to accept what you did on the cross for me. And I want to give you all that junk, and I want to take all of your righteousness, and I want to believe in you. I want to trust you because that's what your Bible says you did for me, and I want to give my life to you. You do that, even if you did it in secret, God was there with you, and God will be there with you, and he'll change your life. Jesus is weeping over an unbelieving Jerusalem. By the way, it comes as a shock to a lot of people. Jerusalem is still unbelieving today, 2,000 years. You think you're going to go to Israel and meet a bunch of people that are walking around saying, "Welcome to the land of the Bible. Come on in." Oh, no. Oh, no. So many of them are atheists or into New Age movement type stuff. Anything but the Bible. Interesting, isn't it? An unbelieving heart grieves the heart of God. Jesus says, look at second point, verse 34, living with expectation, and that we ought to be and wanting to be hearing God's heart. You say, how can I hear God's heart? That's why we read the Bible. God speaks to us. You read his words. You can know his heart. And the first thing we see right here regarding this is that his word must be fulfilled. God will never break his word. God will never break his commitment to you in the word. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. The lamentation here of Jesus Christ is all-powerful. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5 that there's one mediator. Friends, church, listen. The Bible says that there's one go-between between God and mankind, and that is Christ Jesus. Here, Jesus, we know that this is the Palm Sunday account. He's riding on the back of the donkey. Everybody's cheering, and Jesus says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. You've stoned the prophets that have been sent to you. You kill them. And he weeps over that. God will fulfill his word. The Bible said 2,000 years ago that when Jesus would come, Israel would reject him for, I say, a season. Israel would reject him. And they have for these last 2,000 years. But God's not done with Israel. He will fulfill his word. But understand this, God's heart. How can I know God's heart? Read his word. What does he say, when, where, and how is he saying it? To whom? The more we read our Bible, the more we know God's heart on issues. What does God think about our thoughts? What does God think about our actions? What does God want me to do? What does God think, and what does God say about nations? How will America go? How will Russia go? How will wherever, Japan? What? The Bible's there. But when it comes to, and I love the book of Psalms for this reason, about this issue or that issue of my life, when I'm scared, when I'm happy, when I'm mellow, when I'm anxious, you go to the book of Psalms, read those, because God wrote through these wonderful, precious moments in the life of King David.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Living with Expectation. It's a look at the last five verses of Luke chapter 13, part of our journey through this fascinating New Testament narrative written by Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we're coming up to an American holiday that clearly has its historical roots in our Judeo-Christian faith. We're speaking, of course, about Thanksgiving, wherein we express our thanks to our Creator and Provider for all that we have. If you would like to express in words that for which you are thankful to Him, call and let us know. Call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. Remember that all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. That number once again, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.